dancers are also masters of illusion. In this category, the paradigm is Fred Astaire. Ginger Rogers supposedly once asked him why he worked so hard. He replied, "To make it look easy." He worked on everything. For example, Astaire had very large hands, of which he was extremely self-conscious. He would work for hours in front of mirrors to see exactly what his hands were doing and how they looked. He constructed the illusion of a man who was completely at ease with his body and his movements, as if he were acting totally on impulse, and yet nothing was unscripted, unrehearsed, or out of his control. Political skill also stands out. The dance world is ruthless. What it takes to survive in a ballet company is very different from what it takes to survive as a gypsy dancer on Broadway. You need shrewd people instincts to handle both worlds and to know their differences. The final skill I simply list as forever the child. You could call it the ability to not know, or denial, or naivete. It's basically a sense of innocence. You do not know that failure can hurt, or even that you can fail. This brand of unknowingness lets you take incredible risks on stage without appearing to consider the consequences. These are the broad sweeping strokes of a dancer's skill set. How would you assemble your own? What do you have? What do you need? And what can you do to develop the skills you don't have? 24. Play 20 questions. Thoroughness, like discipline, is one of the most valuable skills. The patience to accumulate detail keeps you grounded and sharp. Leonardo da Vinci's notebooks are evidence of obsessive thoroughness. For example, Leonardo was fascinated by water. In one section of his notebooks, he lists the various aspects of rivers and currents he intended to study. Of the different rates of speed of currents from the surface of the water to the bottom. Of the different cross slants between the surface and the bottom. Of the different currents on the surface of the waters. Of the different currents on the bed of the rivers. Of the different depths of the rivers. Of the different shapes of the hills covered by the waters. Of the different shapes of the hills uncovered by the waters. Where the water is swift, at the bottom and not above. Where the water is slow at the bottom and swift above. Where it is slow below and above and swift in the middle. Where the water in the rivers stretches itself out and where it contracts. Where it bends and where it straightens itself. Where it penetrates evenly in the expanses of rivers and where unevenly. Where it is low in the middle and high at the sides. Where it is high in the middle and low at the sides. Where the current goes straight in the middle of the stream. Where the current winds, throwing itself on different sides. Of the different slants in the descents of the water. By the time Leonardo had considered all of these aspects, he understood rivers and was ready to make any creative use of their power and potential that might occur to him, whatever the context. Asking the question assigned him the task of finding the answer. Before you approach a topic, write down 20 things you want to know about it. Let's say you've decided to paint a landscape. Here are 20 questions to consider. 1. From what direction is the light coming? 2. What is the elevation? 3. What trees are native to the area? 4. What is the nearest source of water? 5. What animals are likely to be in view? 6. What season is it? 7. What's the weather? 8. Are you looking down, across, or up? 9. What crops are being cultivated, if any? 10. Are there towns or villages or cities in view? 11. Why are you there? 12. What is attractive about the setting? 13. Is the wind blowing? 14. How much sky can you see? 15. What's behind you that might affect the view? 16. What color predominates in your mind's eye? 17. How many shades of that color do you see in the region? 18. Are other people a part of the image? Who? 19. Are you imagining it today or at some past or future time? 20. What is the frame of the image? You may have a totally different set of questions. A portrait will lead to an entirely different set. So will a sculpture, a short story, a short film, a work based in movement. The asking of the questions, however, sets you the task of learning as much as you can before you start putting paint to canvas, chisel to stone, finger to keyboard. And this questioning process doesn't stop once you've begun. The more you know, the better you can imagine. 25. Package your time. Of all my skills, none is more important than the ability to organize my time. Like many people, I worry on every project that I won't have enough time to do my best. I worry when I have to rely on other people's timetables, that their priorities will collide with mine, or worse, that they don't have any priorities at all, that they're reckless with deadlines. The thought that I will run out of time on a project terrifies me. So I look at the calendar and try to work it all out. To some, this is basic planning. Determine how much time you need versus how much time you have and plan accordingly. But one of the virtues of the creative life is supposed to be that it's open-ended. There's no deadline on a painting or a poem. It's done when it's done. To quote D.W. Harding, "The most important thing is not what the author or artist had in mind to begin with, but at what point he decided to stop." In the collaborative arts, film, theater,